What's up, y'all? I'm Amanda Seals, and listen, I get it. We're in some serious times, so I think some of y'all forgot I'm a comic.
She had them jokes.
I mean, you forgot I had a whole HBO comedy special. You forgot I showed love to how black women give compliments.
Okay, polka dots.
And threw shade to how white women move in corporate America.
Stop CCing all these unnecessary people on these goddamn
I get it. We've been cooped up for a long time. That's why the Amanda Seals Black Outside Again Comedy Tour is coming to a city near you. Go to AmandaSeals.com today and get your tickets so we can laugh and learn our way through this madness together.
How black am I gonna have to get?
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
I'm back on the mainland.
Back in the mainland, yeah.
Yeah, man.
The Holly returns.
Oh, dude, it was tough coming back.
Just, yep.
I mean, literal paradise. It was literally probably the most beautiful place I've ever been to.
It's, I want to hear about it, man.
Had a blast, dude. Had a blast. And, oh, man, where to begin? Surprisingly, we didn't do much because we had all these plans. Mm-hmm. We were gonna go snorkeling. We were gonna go deep sea fishing. We were gonna go jet skiing. didn't do any of that shit. Just played it by ear every day. Every day basically wound up just us getting in the ocean in the morning.
Yeah.
Every morning. Yep. Every morning. And it, because you know we were messed up on the time zones. It's 3 hours earlier than what we are here in California. So we were waking up at like 5 a.m. every morning, and 6:30 in the morning, we're both just in the ocean.
So you're trying to lead me to believe that you wake up at 8 a.m. normally.
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Really?
Yeah. I wake up about 8.
Oh, I didn't have you pegged for like a regular time kind of guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I go to bed about 2, wake up at 8. I get about 6 hours a night. That's probably not enough, but, yeah, I don't sleep late. I mean, every now and then I'll sleep late, but even with nothing to do, I just my body just wakes up. But yeah, so we're waking up 5-6 o'clock every morning, and in the ocean, you know, 6-7 o'clock. Just spend about 30 minutes every morning. Just
it's already warm.
Flopping around. I'm doing cartwheels. I'm doing handstands.
Oh yeah.
Back flips. Working on my. My backstroke, working on just floating on my back.
It's good exercise.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
Are you good? Can you float on your back pretty good?
Yeah. I've never really tried too much. Like, that's just a technique I never go to when I'm in the water. But I was just like, let me goof around here. And yeah, I was able to just completely float. You know, I'd keep my arms out kind of in a Jesus Christ pose.
Yeah.
And just floating.
Sun guard,
just,
so.
Yeah. Just floating, dude, and absolutely just gorgeous. It was so beautiful there. And the other thing, too, had a nice hotel, nice balcony. We were probably a football field length from the water. So, you know, close enough to where when we'd sleep with the sliding glass door, the balcony door open.
Sure.
And just hearing those waves crashing all through the night.
Yeah.
It was like nature's sleep app, man. Was awesome.
I am like the floating thing. That's one of the most peaceful. I mean, the salt water helps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, makes you more buoyant. But that's where I could like, oh, you just you know, if the waves aren't too much and going over you or anything, you just breathe deep and relax.
Yeah.
You have to relax to be able to do it.
Yeah.
So you're forced to relax, and then you're just floating.
Yeah.
Oh, buddy.
Dude, it was so great. It was so great.
Can I say I'm glad you didn't do jet skis? It's not really the vibe. I think they kind of frown on it down there.
Yeah, I kind of felt that. I totally get that. You know, the noise
you
it makes.
Turtles
and all that.
And stuff down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I looked into it. There were some places where we could have rented a spot, a jet ski, but yeah, for whatever reason, it wasn't really that. I wasn't like cognizant of like what you just said, but I think instinctually I was just like, eh, there's so much else to do here. Maybe we hold off on that.
Yeah, it's like taking a dirt bike through a national park. It's kind of like, well, yeah, let's leave this one alone.
Yeah, you don't want to be that turd. But, yeah, we're going to snorkel. Didn't get a chance to go out there. It was just every day started with us in the ocean, and then get this. I think I told you we were going to do this. Rented the Mustang convertible.
Yeah, you had that bright green.
Oh, boy. V8 5.0. Mm-hmm. Dude, talk about it. Was like a jet ski on the road.
Oh, you had the real, the strong one.
Yes, we had the GT. Yeah.
Okay, 5. Not the old normal rental car, single exhaust kind of.
No, that's, I think, what I rented, and then they upgraded me. This guy was like, I'll tell you what. Okay. He's like, you a car guy? And I was like, yeah, kind of. He goes, well, I'll tell you what, we got this one here. And he told us, you know, some technique. He's like, this one's much more expensive, but they price it up that way. That way we'll always have it around. You know, not a lot of people want to pay this much for it. So I paid like the standard base model rate, but hooked me up with the 5.0 V8. Dude, I've never driven. I don't think I've ever driven a Mustang, much less a convertible, much less a 5.0 V8. Well, okay, long story short, real talk, Katie is currently in the market for a Mustang.
She got on it, huh?
She loved it more than I did. We split time with it. You know, one day I drive, next day she drive. But she was obsessed with it. And she's literally, like, all weekend been looking at Mustangs online. I'm like, are you serious? I'm like, it's not the most practical vehicle. And she's like, what do I care? It's fun. And, so I don't know. I don't know if she's going to get one. But it made an impact on both of us.
Was it the convertible aspect, or was the car?
It was both. It was the V8 and the convertible. Like, and I've always, like, to me, there's nothing more annoying in the world than like the loud Harley Davidson or the fucking the little tuner guys that are way too loud. Like, yeah. I get not wanting to draw that kind of attention and being loud, obnoxious. That being said, it was fucking awesome, and even the sound, like. Just the scent of like when you crank it up, just like, oh, I get it. I've never been much of a car guy. I've always, you know, I've talked about that before. Like, it's hard to be a car guy when you can only afford the bare minimum. Yeah. But even within that, I, as you know, I've always been more of a Jeep guy in my younger days, and SUVs and trucks and whatnot. So, I mean, I've owned a couple of cars my whole life. I had that Lexus 10 years ago that I loved, but I've never really been like a car guy. That being said, I've never driven a V8 convertible before, and dude, it was like, I feel like a shithead to say that's probably my favorite part of the trip, was driving around in the Mustang.
Just ripping around the convertible.
Oh man, I just took it out every day. It was just awesome. So yeah, in the ocean every morning, midday, top down. Riding around in the Mustang, going to get some poke. Dude, I did all this research, all these restaurants I was going to eat at. I ate at Foodland Grocery Store almost every day. All the locals even said, like, oh, yeah, they have the best poke. It's like their little regional chain grocery store.
But if you're going to chill out, like, some, it's a different style of vacationing. Some people go and they want to see all the sights. Like, some people want to just go, like, I just want to sit here. Mm-hmm. I want to listen to the wind blow through the palm trees. I want to hear the waves crashing on the beach. I want my belly full. And that's all, like, maybe that's all you need out of the trip, you know?
It worked for me. It's all I needed. It was phenomenal. It was just absolutely phenomenal. Here's a curveball for you. I was so excited to do the Road to Hana. Gotta say, it was beautiful. It wasn't pleasurable. It wasn't leisurely. You've done it. Just too many hairpin turns. It was just...
Oh, no, you've got to be on point, yeah.
Yeah, it was taxing. It was like, ugh, okay, this is beautiful, but it's kind of starting to suck. And, like...
Well,
again,
but you
got to, like,
so you got to stop. You got to enjoy the little waterfalls and everything.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. We were... The strategy was... because I even downloaded those apps. I paid like $30 for this big package of apps with the tours and stuff. And there's like 40 stops that you could make on the way. And I'm always paranoid about time. I just hate being stuck too far out, and then I get tired, and then you gotta, we got 3-hour drive home. So we're like, let's drive straight to Hana without stopping, because I wanted to go get that Huli Huli chicken.
Yeah.
So it's like, let's just drive straight. We won't really stop. Plus, like, every place you could stop was kind of crowded.
Yeah.
So it's like, we'll drive straight there, and then on the way back, we'll stop. Well, by the time we got to Hana, I couldn't find the Huli Huli chicken spot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, couldn't find it. I thought I pulled into this one food truck park, and I was like, well, this has got to be it. And it wasn't there. And I wound up getting something else. It was good. But anyway, didn't get the Huli Huli chicken. But point was, we'll drive straight there. We'll get lunch. And then on the way back, we'll make our stops. But by the time we finished lunch, we both were like, kind of ready to get home. And, yeah. Just all those hairpin turns, and as you know,
they say you got to start early and know that it's going to be a long day. If you're doing that to come back, like we were going, we were staying out there. But if you're coming back, it's a long.
Yeah. So we didn't stop anywhere other than in Hana to eat lunch, and the trip was still 5 hours round trip, five, maybe 6 hours. But and then all those damn one lane bridges, you know, and you got to wave at the other guy.
You're in a convertible, man. You're enjoying the jungle, a tropical jungle in a convertible.
No, I know. And it was beautiful. But, you know, those hairpin turns, like it was just such a more taxing, physically and mentally taxing than I was anticipating. Now, what we did find the next day, we stayed in Wailea, which is South Maui. The trip from Wailea to Lahaina on the west coast, dude, now that was more our speed. Kind of a straight shot just along the coast the whole time. You're driving up there, you got the ocean on your left, mountains on your right. Dude, we did that the next day and loved that trip so much that we did that like two or three more times before we left. Like just for no reason, let's just drive back to Lahaina just so we could have that commute. And, dude, that was amazing. It's amazing. So that and the poke. We were there 8 days. I'm not shitting you. I did the math. I ate 12 pounds of poke in 8 days. It was the best stuff I've ever had. I thought I liked poke around here. That stuff out there was just so fresh and perfect that it just made what I'm eating in L.A. just taste like dog food. It was insane. I had this. I found this one that I loved. Korean salmon. Just raw salmon chopped up, tossed in like this Korean chili oil stuff. Oh, my God, dude. I told you before, like, that's absolutely number one on my power rankings of food taste-to-health ratio. Like, there's nothing that I enjoy more that's
taste,
also somewhat
taste
healthy.
Taste-to-health ratio.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, everything that's healthy kind of sucks. Everything that I love is terribly unhealthy.
Yeah,
but
I get what you're talking
something.
About.
That makes
sense. Yeah, I was talking. I was hanging out with Shane Torres because we were recording our show today, and just talking about I wish why does everything I like is terrible? Like I wish I could change my sense of taste or something, or like figure out how to appreciate healthier food. In a way, but the same thing you're saying, like taste health profile, it's a good way to put it.
Yeah, and I literally nothing even comes close other than sushi, which is pretty much the same thing, but nothing comes close. Like when I'm eating the poke, it doesn't feel like I'm eating a healthy lunch. Like, oh, I'll eat healthy today. And it was like, no, that's the destination. I'm leaving the hotel to go find poke. And I'm sure there's calories and stuff and like some of the oil that they use, but overall, like you're just eating cut up raw fish. It's gotta be healthy, right? But yeah, dude, I couldn't get enough.
Rachel and I were talking about the idea of like a sushi burrito, and I'm like, I think the reason sushi works is it's the bite size. Like, oh, all the flavors work together in this bite. As much as I want to be open minded about food, I feel like that's in my head, it's like a, just a whole, like just, it's just like a fish, like a whole dead fish and a tortilla.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know. Makes me think of like, what if you could do like a lobster roll, but with sushi or sashimi? I wonder if that would work. But still, like you said, I wonder if the bread would take away from the bite-sized fish.
Yeah, it's like it's too much raw fish to regulate with your own enjoyment. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Splurged one night and got some Ruth's Chris to go.
In Hawaii?
Yeah. After all that fish, I was like, boy, I should. Because we were, where we were staying was literally like a 5-minute walk from the shops at Wailea, and they had a Ruth's Chris there. And I love a Ruth's Chris. And so splurged. And, you know, usually if I'm going to drop that kind of coin on a meal, mm-hmm. I'm going to dine in and get the whole experience. But it's like, fuck it, we're on vacation. Got a big steak, got some scallop potatoes, got the whole nine yards, took it home or took mm-hmm. it to the hotel. Of, and this is an epidemic, by the way, in the entire food industry. Takeout food, delivery food with no utensils. Yes, why would someone with a hotel address getting takeout, why would they need utensils? But anyway, did give me utensils.
I got to ask how many people are getting takeout from Ruth's Chris.
That's true. That's true.
Like, what are you going to tear? You going to get into a sirloin with a plastic fork and knife?
Well, yeah, even a plastic one.
I got to put this one on you, buddy.
Yeah. Good thing I brought my little stubby knife that you got me for Christmas last year. And sitting in the hotel room, just eating a $60 ribeye, cutting it up with a little pocket knife.
Well, you could ask the hotel. You're in a nice hotel.
Yeah, I didn't feel like going all the way back down. And I was like, yeah, I got my pocket knife.
Jesus Christ.
Then I had to clean it. I told Katie the next morning, I was like, I got ribeye in my pocket knife. Where are the Q-tips?
I didn't want to go to get a fork and knife from the lobby to eat the steak. I got to go.
We're on the ninth floor. It was a long trip down. I was like, yeah, I'll use Kyle's pocket knife. And it worked out great. Worked out great. I ate some dog shit food, too. A couple of meals were really underwhelming. Let me tell you something. I'm done with mahi-mahi. What a stupid, boring, dry fish that is.
Oh, good but it's Lord. So nice to say it twice.
Yeah, mahi-mahi. I'd rather eat my shoe. It was just so boring. And, like, I had a couple people recommend this one place. I'll throw them under the bus. Coconuts. Just the most generic hospital food bullshit I've ever had.
I want to see what I'm looking up. Coconuts.
Oh, just garbage.
Coconuts in Maui. Let's see. Coconuts.
I'm going to go to the grocery store and get some raw fish. I'd be much more satisfied.
Coconuts.
Oh, it sucked. Well, it was the day after the trip to Hana, and I was pissed that I didn't find the Huli Huli chicken. And then the menu at Coconuts already looked like shit, but they had this one thing called Island Chicken. And I'm like, well, that's got to be similar to this Huli Huli chicken I hear so much about. You know, thought maybe I'd get a nice, you know, rotisserie chicken leg or thigh with, you know, nice tropical sauce. Oh, yeah,
just from the
sauce.
Graphic design of this place, I wouldn't trust it.
Oh, it was just – it tasted like Subway chicken. Just came all sliced up. Just a little, couple little grilled chicken strips. Ugh, just garbage. Anyway, I don't know why I'm being so negative about that. But yeah, other than the coconuts, it was a great trip.
I mean, it's named after a cat.
They named it after their cat.
It was a cat named Coconut. Francis, my other kid, adopted him for me as a Father's Day gift in 2001. He enjoys days lounging in the sun and is the namesake of Coconut's Fish Cafe. Coconut passed away in 2017 after 16 years of friendship. Oh, now I feel bad.
Probably killed himself because he ate too much island chicken.
This place does not look like the spot for authentic...
But I had like three people recommend it. I'm like, maybe you're just playing a joke on me. I had some people online before I left reach out, and then I had a couple locals. I had like a bartender.
Maybe you got a bad batch. Did you go to any fun bars, any fun nightlife?
No, not really. Had a nice bar in the hotel. Went down there a couple times. I love the big open, like the big spacious lobby of some of these grand hotels. You know, big bar. But yeah, hung out there. But yeah, they had a poolside bar in one of the pools. Did that. That was fun. This place we stayed at had like 9 or 10 like elaborate swimming pools. Had like the little lazy river. Oh, dude, it was great. It was a lot of fun, man.
I'm glad. I'm excited. I'm excited that the trip was good. I was gonna bother you during it, but I'm like, nah, just let me have, I don't need pictures of what you're doing every day.
Dude, look
but
at
I was
we're daydreaming, getting on Zillow, looking at places in Maui.
Oh, that happens. That happens to you're like, I'll just be part of the problem if I do that.
And for most people, that you would be like, well, you can't afford that. But I live in Los Angeles, and it's crazy when you become accustomed to Los Angeles real estate, and then you look at what other real estate, even in exotic places like Maui, you're like, oh, that's literally cheaper than the market value, market rate of LA real estate.
Yeah, but you got the cost of living out there is incredibly high because it's an island.
Yeah.
Also, people, like, yeah. It was funny talking to, I forget who it was. It was one of Chris Charpentier's friends when we were out there, and he was living there, I think, going to grad school, and he's like, you get island fever.
Yeah,
I've heard that. You start to feel disconnected from what everybody else is doing in the world and being able to, like, no, that's your – I truly feel like I'd be fine with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do too. Well, I was thinking, you know, we've talked in the past about living abroad or whatever. Like, this would kind of be – I don't know if the best of both worlds is the right phrase, but like, do you know what I'm saying? You'd feel removed from all the chaos, but yet you still have the, I don't know if it's safety or comfort of U.S. citizenship. You know, it feel like geographically it's a foreign land.
Yeah.
So it would kind of scratch that itch, but you still feel connected enough because you're still technically in America. I don't know. I was thinking about that.
Yeah, it's like, you know, what is it? Willie Nelson lives out there.
Yeah.
Owen Wilson.
Yeah, he's got a place in Maui.
Oprah Winfrey, allegedly.
Oh, really?
I mean, they think these people have homes. I don't know if they just live out there, but they.
Yeah, probably second or third home. Yeah, I think I looked that up. I think Willie lives in, is it Paella? Am I pronouncing that right? I know Paella is a
Paella,
Spanish.
Yeah, no, Paella. Rice dish. Yeah.
But that's that first town on the road to Maui.
So I think it's a little hippie town up there. Mm-hmm. Well, all right, so you're back.
Mm-hmm.
Are you bummed out being back? I always get bummed out when I come back.
Well, no, we got bummed out the last day. The last day. We just had so much fun. And I didn't really make this connection at the time, but I don't know if I told you this before we left, but Katie and I have known each other for 10 years. This is the first time we've ever flown together.
Really?
Like we've traveled together. We've had a bunch of trips together, but it's either us driving somewhere or like, you know, I'm out on tour and then she'll fly and meet me and then we'll drive home or something. So we've done a lot of tours, but it's the first time we've ever flown together. And it never dawned on me, especially as a big guy, every time I'm on an airplane and coach, I'm always just, you know, self-conscious. I'm trying not to spill over into my neighbor's seat. I'm always just crammed in there. And then we were like, oh, shit, let's get rid of this armrest. And it was just a cuddle party for 5 hours.
Just get cozy.
I've never been able to cuddle the person next to me on an airplane. It's awesome.
Well, I mean, I think you've been able to. You've just shown restraint.
But
I've definitely had people fall asleep on my shoulder, or I've fallen.
Oh, really?
I know I've fallen asleep and I think been nudged off of some strangers in the past.
But yeah, that last day we were both like, oh, this is it sucks that we have to go home because what I was going to say is most of the time when I'm traveling, I'm excited to get home because, you know, I miss Katie or I've been on the road too long or whatever. But yeah, to really get those last day of vacation blues. We were both like, this is so stupid. We're so lucky that we got to take this trip. Why are we sitting around bummed out today? But it was like, oh, back to reality. But I had to remind
Katie. Let's
go
over what your reality is.
Yeah, our reality's pretty good. I'm not going back to work at the baked bean factory in Paducah, Kentucky. So, yeah, my reality's pretty good.
If that's what you told people, I actually work at a baked bean factory. I've been saving up for years for this trip.
Oh, man.
Did you meet any fun people? Did you kick it with strangers at all? Or?
No, I don't think so. I mean, Katie met... Katie's never met a stranger. Like all the little shops and stuff, she befriended all these little shopkeepers. But no, didn't really, you know, connect with anybody. Just you know what was also great about where we stayed, and I don't know why, but almost no kids. Even though this place is very kid conducive, like they're like all the pools and they had water slides and, but. Yeah, and right in the middle of summer, we were really expecting a lot of vacationing families with kids, but very few kids. That was nice.
Well.
But yeah, just a great trip. You're getting older, right? I'm an adult now. Look at me. I'm in my 40s. I'm a big boy. It's time to start thinking about insurance, not just health insurance, but life insurance. In this unpredictable economy, life insurance can offer peace of mind that anyone who relies on you financially, a child, a parent, even a business partner, will have a financial cushion if something happens to you. Why get covered now? Well, life insurance typically gets more expensive as you get older, so it's smart to get a policy sooner rather than later. If you're worried about the price, by making it easy to compare your options from top companies, Policy Genius can help you make sure you're not paying a cent more than you have to for the coverage you need. And even if you already have coverage through your work, having life insurance through your job may not be enough. Most people need up to 10 times more coverage to properly provide for their families. That's why you need Policy Genius. One word, Policy Genius. They're not an insurance company. They're an insurance marketplace. They're trying to help you find the best insurance. Policy Genius doesn't add on extra fees. Your personal info is private. They don't sell your details to third parties. Policy Genius has thousands of five-star reviews across Google and Trustpilot. Policy Genius has options that offer coverage in as little as a week and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Since 2014, Policy Genius has helped over 30 million people shop for insurance and placed over $150 billion in coverage. Head to policygenius.com to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save today. That's policygenius.com. Fresh from San Diego, California, comes the only sunglasses brand I'm ever going to wear ever again. Talking, of course, about Blenders Eyewear. You're going to be just as hooked when you see how awesome these shades are. I went with the Swagger Cat model, but as this copy will imply, I was not heartbroken when I lost them. Blenders, I've lost my Swagger Cats. Could you please send some more? That'd be great. It's been a couple years. I held onto those things for a few years. Ultimately, I lost them, so just keeping it real with you guys. Chase Fisher started Blenders by selling his beachy shades out of a backpack while doubling as a surf instructor on Pacific Beach. I'm seeing his TV commercials now, too. He's got great hair. His goal, to create an adventurous mid-priced eyewear option with the same cool factor as other leading styles. Unlike expensive big brand shades that you probably lost or smashed in the past, Blenders are actually affordable, so you're not going to cry as much when the inevitable happens. I didn't shed a tear. Of course, I didn't pay for mine either, but hey, even if I did, I wouldn't have paid so much that it would have upset me had I lost them. So anyway, Blenders team of in-house designers are constantly coming out with new styles, from orange polarized wraparounds, tortoiseshell frames with purple lenses, to classic gold arms on black lenses. And it's not just sunglasses. Blenders has prescription glasses, readers, blue lights, even a snow collection with goggles. Hell yeah. Live life in forward motion with Blenders today. To score 15% off your Blenders purchase, visit BlendersEyewear.com, enter promo code BOOGIEVIP. That's BlendersEyewear.com, code BOOGIEVIP for 15% off. Blenders, rocked with pride worldwide. All right, let's talk about ExpressVPN. I have been using ExpressVPN for probably a couple years now, primarily for online security. You don't want everybody knowing what you're doing online. You don't want your data getting out there. However, the copy of this ad is telling me that you can watch Netflix with ExpressVPN, but not just any old Netflix, the big boy package. Apparently, I'm only getting part of Netflix But, you know, when you log onto your Netflix, apparently you're only getting a fraction of their library based on where you're watching it from. ExpressVPN unblocks all that blocked content and lets you change your online location. You control where you want Netflix or other streaming websites to think that you're located. Do you follow? All right, so this is what I'm going to have to do. I've got to open the app. I got to select my country name. I'm in the United States of America. You tap one button to connect, and then when you refresh the page, boom, you got the whole package. You got the whole library, not just what they want to show you based on your location. If that's not enough, why else should you use ExpressVPN? Well, blazing fast speeds. You can stream in HD with zero buffering. Compatible with all your devices, phones, laptops, media consoles, smart TVs, what have you. Servers in 94 different countries. You gain access to thousands of new shows. Works with other streaming services, BBC iPlayer, YouTube, a bunch of other stuff. So be smart, stop paying full price for streaming services and only getting access to a fraction of their content. Get your money's worth today at expressvpn.com/boogie. That's ExpressVPN, Victor Papa November. Don't forget to use our link, expressvpn.com/boogie, to get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Again, expressvpn.com/boogie.
I'm glad. Well, while you were gone, some significant events happened.
Yeah, what's been going down with you?
Which should be in our wheel. Me? Nothing.
Yeah.
Just dumb shit.
I really was going to reach out to you about that Highland Park thing. I hope nobody you knew was involved in that.
No, I mean, buddy, look at all the shootings that happen in Chicago on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, this, like 4th of July.
Yeah, it is one of those things where I hate agreeing with a side I despise, but we're like, yeah, well, what about all the other shootings that happened in Chicago? Mm-hmm. And this one was just, it's newsworthy because it's a white dude doing terrorist shit, shooting into a crowd of strangers, which also happens on the South Side, but it's black people shooting at black people and does not get the coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I don't think we needed to go into that. We're doing fun. First off, let's talk about the Georgia Guidestones being blown up by, I don't know if they figured out who did it yet. I'm assuming some Christian ding-dong who thinks it's a New World Order. Mm-hmm. Like, I think idiots are being emboldened right now.
I was thinking about that, too. Who would have motivation to do that? Is it Christians who think it's some New World Order hoodoo voodoo bullshit?
I don't, you don't want to speculate that way, but like the fact that people are like, this is a totem to the New World Order. Like, what is it? Does the government know nothing, or are they all involved to control the population and the future of the planet?
Hmm.
Like, which one is it? You can't have both. You can't be the government so stupid and the guy. That's why I want smaller government, because the government can't fix the roads, or that's why I don't want, public health, like, nationalized health care, because government doesn't know what they're doing. But also there's a new world order made up of the deep state elites that will control the population and how we intake information. It's like, you don't get to have both.
Yeah.
You don't get to believe in both of those things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, it could be somebody that thinks that, it's, I don't know if we're just getting more news stories. Well, it is. We're getting more news stories because of the internet. But then this shit was probably happening before you heard about it. And it's the same as somebody who, probably spray paints a Catholic church because they're pissed off about the Roe versus Wade thing. That's mm-hmm. how I look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Which you should. Fuck them. Fuck the Catholic church. Not advocating violence, but. Trust me, if they can afford all that other, if they can afford the Vatican, they can afford a power washer.
Mm-hmm.
just consider it baptizing the church. But they say we don't have much. Oh, this is an independent article. I'm trying to see if they found anybody of who may have done it. I can't. Let's see. That's a Fox News article, but. Yeah, I don't know who would have done it. A room is here. Well, this is according to FoxNews.com.
Have you seen the video? Have you seen the security footage of you can see the person?
No, that's
doing
what I'm. That's what I'm seeing right now. Mm-hmm. I can watch an ad of these fucking assholes on Fox News. It was just one of the things that came up quick. Shows video of someone leaving an explosive device next to a rural monument. Conservative Christians criticize as satanic. Everything satanic they don't agree with.
Of course. Anything they don't understand. I told you
which
about the
is,
time.
Everything.
I went to a youth church lecture when I was like 14, and it was 2 hours of some dickhead telling us that Pearl Jam and the Smashing Pumpkins are satanic. It's like, man, y'all can go fuck yourself. You're fucking stupid. You're fucking stupid if you think modern alternative radio rock is fucking satanic just because it's secular. Ugh.
Yeah, it's I don't think anybody listening to this is in the corner of the Christian right defending the fear-mongering. Why don't we get back to this? And we've gone over it before. Fine, go over everything in the Bible. Then go.
Yeah.
Then if you're going to go literal on the don't cherry pick, go literal on everything. Put women out to the field when they're on their period. If you're going to commit to that, you're a lunatic.
Yeah.
I was trying to make a joke about how I think it's you have to swear on a Bible in court to tell the truth. I'm like, oh, this book of caveman stories that a bunch of wine drunk old timey goobers retold over and over again so nobody knows the real meaning. Oh, this is the book of truth. Yes, this book of truth.
Yes.
These fables that got retold by prehistoric booze bags.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Middle East.
Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, and Mike had some jams. Yeah. So I was thinking about that. I think it is just somebody. It's just small-minded, fearful people because the world's changing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the world's always changing, but now we're more aware of. Now you get the internet, so you get to see how much it's changing. And wow, there's a cartoon for kids where gay people kiss. I better blow up this thing. Didn't Ted Turner put it there? Wasn't it a Ted Turner thing? I thought we discussed that.
Did we? Ted Turner, what would his involvement be with that? For those who don't remember, we did do an episode years ago about this. It's one of our first episodes. But in Elbert County, Georgia, not far from Athens, Georgia, I think it appeared in like 79 or 80 for the first time. Just these six giant marble slabs. I think it's – is it marble or granite? But anyway, six giant slabs. They're each like 19 feet tall. And they've got basically a list of 10 instructions, and they're written in 8 different languages. And I'll go over these real quick. One, this is the most interesting. I don't know if you would call these commandments or commands or whatever, but the first one is maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. So I always found that interesting, like population control.
Let's go, how would people interpret it as something negative? See, that's the New World Order saying they're going to eliminate part of the human race. No, it's just the world can only sustain so many of us.
I agree with that
100%.
Absolutely. Number two, guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity.
Too many fatzos, too many tubbos.
Number three, unite humanity with a living new language. Okay, so that might fall under some New World Order stuff as far as a one world government or a one world language.
Without the obvious reason of like, communication's difficult. If people don't know, we can easily spun into some paranoid shit if you wanted to. But I'm still on board with all these things.
Yeah. Number four, rule passion, faith, tradition, and all things with tempered reason. So meaning, especially there with the faith.
Yeah, pump the brakes, with tempered, you religious fruitcakes.
Yeah, use some fucking common sense, maybe. Let's see, number five, protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts.
And that one's going to shit. as we speak.
Number six, let all nations rule internally, resolving external disputes in a world court. Okay, so that's a little NWO-ish. Number seven, avoid petty laws and useless officials. Amen.
Yeah.
That's great advice. Eight, balance personal rights with social duties. Okay, I like that. Number nine, prize truth, beauty, love, seeking harmony with the infinite.
I'm on a website called Curious Archive, and their interpretation of that is the infinite here means the supreme being, whose will is manifest in the working of the cosmos, if we will seek for it. I guess some idea of a god or higher being.
Mm-hmm. And lastly, number 10, be not a cancer on the earth. Leave room for nature. Leave room for nature. They put that there twice. I don't know.
This is from weird. Somewhere, because these went up when?
1979, I believe.
Okay.
I think it was 79. 79 or 80. I think it was 79.
That stuck with me. Take it with a grain of salt as a philosophy course at community college. But this is old, long, white-bearded hippie guy.
Mm-hmm.
Who was like, I remember him making a statement. He's like, if human beings become the cancer of the earth will eliminate us, or we'll eliminate ourselves to keep that nature will take over.
Yeah.
Whether it be a plague or something, or we do it to ourselves, nature will regulate it if we don't regulate it ourselves.
Yeah.
And that stuck with me. I didn't get too much more why he said that, but.
Yeah, it makes sense. I was thinking a lot about that, not to get all spiritual and hippy dippy, but every morning I'm just standing in this beautiful ocean. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of a reminder of, like, I know this is obvious, year one philosophy shit, but it's just a reminder of how minuscule and how unimportant we are individually, and just how powerful the earth. Like, I've always loved the ocean. It's the biggest thing on earth. It's just insane.
Yeah, it's a little upsetting when you see a piece of trash from Japan that made it all the way.
Yeah.
Remember being like, oh, this is a weird thing. We're like, oh, that floated over from Asia, made it across the biggest thing. Garbage made it across the biggest thing.
I was trying to think why the water was so beautiful and clear there in Maui. I guess it's obvious is it's probably, I don't know, I'm assuming there's not as much aquatic traffic, not as much. I mean, although there is, they do have everything shipped in over there. But like, I was trying to figure out why Long Beach's water was so goddamn disgusting, and why Maui looked like heaven on earth.
I don't know. Did you see the power plant right there in Long Beach?
Yeah,
oil refinery, whatever it is there.
Yeah.
Also, I think like just a large coastline. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm going to talk on my ass, as we do, but about to the tides and this and that. But if you just have a few islands that water can come by and then keep passing through versus a large landmass where it's going to run up to it and stop, like the western coast of the United States, like water's going to get to it and stop.
Mm-hmm.
Not stop, but like all the shit that's floating towards it stops there. Whereas an island, it goes around it. It floats.
Yeah.
But again, I'm sure it has to deal with what's kind of sediment is in the water.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much of the beaches are man-made beaches or like deposited sand.
Yeah.
Where you walk out a few feet and then you're just in mud.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had that in California really, but I think about like lakes and stuff, but yeah, I don't know.
That was so beautiful. We drove out on some old lava field, I forgot the name of it, but there was some nature reserve just south of Wailea, not far from, if you know the area, McKenna Beach. And I don't know if we were on a volcano or this was just old lava from an old volcano, but like just this field with just all this black lava rock. I mean, there was mm-hmm. kind of a gravel road that they had constructed that went out there for several miles. But man, just middle of nowhere, surrounded by black lava rock. That was a scene and an environment I'd never been in. That was pretty cool.
Oh yeah, we went to the Black Sand Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a field like that up here. I remember driving through it in Oregon. But just today, driving, like, you see Mount St. Helens. It's not, you see it from the highway. Like, oh, you see Mount Hood, and that's pointy, mm-hmm. and Mount St. Helens, mm-hmm. which is not pointy. It's like, because it yeah. exploded in, like, I think, 1980, I think it was. Really blew its lid. But what was I getting at? I forgot. I was about to talk on my ass.
Volcanoes, lava.
Well, you know, just the understanding. I mean, it's a very Zen thing to understand how minuscule you are. Mm-hmm. And you can spin that into, well, what's the point of being a good person if it doesn't matter? But you can, that's, again, the big philosophical question of, like, how do you have morality without religion? And the answer is like, well, I don't need a fake idea of a devil to make me want to be a good person. I don't feel good if I'm not being a good person.
Exactly.
And I'm not a great person. I know I'm not a great person.
But yeah, the satisfaction of knowing that you at least had attempted to do the right thing, as opposed to just a perpetual shithead
yeah.
who's constantly trying to fuck people over.
Yeah, just being shady. And again, I don't know what morally, you know, what happened to them or is in them that's like, no, I'm important. If we are here for a short time, then I'm going to take advantage and be sinister to make my existence better. And if you don't have a fear of something terrible in the afterlife, yeah, what stops from somebody from just who taught them that it doesn't like to not feel bad about being that way?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe is that in a weird way good to teach your kids some sort of religion early on to just give them guilt? I don't like it. Catholic guilt sucks, but it also sticks with you to make you think about when you've been a bad person.
Well, what about something as simple and pedestrian as the Golden Rule? Like, even if you took religion out of it, hey, I'm going to try to do the right thing so other people maybe do the right thing towards me. I'm not going to steal from this guy because I don't want anybody to steal from me. Or what? Fill in the blank.
And I think that's people turn that into like, well, I'm not going to let myself be a victim. So if you're a victim, that's your fault. So I'm going to mm-hmm. steal from you because you didn't take the precautions to not be stolen from. I mm-hmm. did. And I'm yeah. just trying to play that role, like to try and figure out why you would justify being a piece of shit, you know?
Just like I heard long ago, this is, I forgot whose quote this was, but this stuck with me. And I'm paraphrasing, but the concept of, what am I trying to say? If you don't tell lies, you don't have to have a great memory or something.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
the person who's always lying, how stressful must that be to always have these different stories in your head? And, well, okay, what did I tell Kyle? Okay, what did I tell Katie? Like, no, just fucking tell the truth to everybody and you could sleep at night.
Oh, yeah, you do more work trying to get out of work than if you just did the work.
Yeah.
You stress out more trying to tell lies, getting away with something, than if you just were honest and got through it. Like, let's do the Band-Aid thing. Mm-hmm. I think about people that are, like, in miserable relationships.
Ugh.
That just put off
mm-hmm.
more and more. And it just gets more and more difficult the longer you go on.
Yeah, what's the point?
That was the same thing, you know, not the same idea, but somebody saying like, well, I wish I would have started whatever I wanted to do so many years ago. But you didn't, so start it today. Because if you can say the same thing tomorrow if you don't do it today.
Yeah.
It's a real feel-good podcast today.
In other news.
I want to know. Yeah, we got Georgia Guidestones. Good news for old Dave Stone, though. Go for it.
Oh, yeah. You heard this story. Now, as I'm reading this, it feels like it might be bullshit. But this dude claims he found a Bigfoot skull. I don't know this guy. I don't know any YouTubers, but Coyote Peterson, you ever heard of this dude? I guess he's a YouTuber.
I don't know any YouTubers.
I guess he also has a show on Animal Planet called Brave Wilderness.
Wild that people's livelihood... it's wild that the people that find these things, it's their livelihood depends on them finding these things.
That's true. How convenient. That being said, you could argue that these guys or whomever that are out there looking and, you know, traipsing around the woods looking for this shit, that they might find stuff sooner than the average person who doesn't go out and look for it. So I don't know. But, yeah, this dude, Coyote Peterson, he claims he found a large primate skull in British Columbia. And already some scientists are chiming in saying, nah, that's just not only is it a gorilla skull, it's a fake cast of a gorilla skull. Because if you argue that it's a natural gorilla skull, then you could say, well, there's never been gorillas in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
But this one scientist thinks it's total bullshit. He says it's a cast of a fake skull. But anyway, I guess they'll test it eventually and then we'll know. I've been following.
Gotta have content when you're a YouTuber.
That's true. I've been, as you know, a Bigfoot fan for decades. And I've always heard.
You've mentioned it from time to time, Dave.
You always hear that people find hair and DNA and stuff, but I never hear the test results. I never hear 3 months later anybody come back and go, "Hey, we got the test results," and it's not what we thought.
Yeah, I think you know why. I just want to hear about why not? What about a rural mailman, like a rural postal worker? Or somebody that has to work on power lines deep in the woods. That's a story of I don't even go on YouTube, but I saw some wild shit that I tape with my phone. Somebody that has no stake in it. Which, I mean, there are some of those out there because nowadays everybody gets a dopamine hit from getting likes on the internet. And so you could either try and be a good comedian that's legitimately funny or make sketches or something. You can, if you got big fat tits, you could just put those out there. Big butt, big fat tits, you put those out there. Or you can be fraudulent. Be a fraudulent, or be like a political, I'm just going to troll and say horrible shit to get people to hate me. Because even people hating me still means people are acknowledging I exist. Which, god damn, I mean, they're in Congress now. Now the fine states of Colorado and your state of Georgia has representatives who are those people. We don't get political, but Marjorie Taylor Greene, god damn it, Dave, Jesus. If your state reelects that dizzy piece of shit. But, she didn't even pronounce, all her things. It was in a, what'd she call it, a peach tree dish? Fuck it. But again, that's who's winning. And not to get here there, but you know how to get attention. You know how to be the shitty kid that stomps their feet at the mall to get the toy that you want, which is just views now, or come up with fake ghosts or anything else that you could do with some modest home equipment. So,
yeah. Going back to this skull, the scientist Darren Naish, he's a vertebrate paleontologist and science communicator in the UK. He told Live Science that the skull belonged to a gorilla. Quote, "This is undoubtedly a gorilla skull and is obvious from numerous anatomical details and as verified by a list of experts. Also, it seems to be identical to a commercially available cast of a specific gorilla skull." So this scientist says it's not only is it a gorilla skull, it's a fake gorilla skull. Coyote Pierce, go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say, I was reading on the Live Science or Live Science article where guy also says, this Naish says, on top of the theoretical questions of legality, the conspiracy mongering language in Peterson's post worsens the situation. I'm told that Coyote Peterson does this sort of thing fairly often as clickbait and that this is a stunt done to promote an upcoming video. Maybe this is meant to be taken as harmless fun, but in an age where anti-scientific feelings and conspiracy culture are a serious problem, it, again, isn't really a good look. I think this stunt has backfired. I do agree with that. We're already fighting a flood of false information in every other avenue, and it does play into it.
Well, But as someone who does believe in Bigfoot, you would, okay, the argument that people who don't believe are like, well, how come we ain't found a body or at least bones? I don't really have an answer for that. But you would think eventually we would find a skull or something. Now, I read years ago in one article that I vaguely remember that somebody said, good point. Why haven't we found a body or bones? However, now I don't know if this is true, and Joe Zimmerman did a bit about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I read, seriously, and I've heard a couple of people make this quote about, we've never found the remains of a naturally deceased bear. So does that mean bears don't exist? Obviously, we know bears exist, but according to this one article I read a decade ago, they've made the point that, science has never found the remains of a naturally deceased bear. So where do those remains go? Do they... Now, there's one theory with Bigfoot is that they bury their dead the same way humans might. I don't expect a bear to bury their dead, but maybe bears, you know, when they're in their dying days, like a lot of animals, maybe they retreat so far off into the wilderness and nook and crannies, you know, to find peace in their final days that, you know, maybe humans just aren't ever going to stumble upon those natural remains. I don't know. But, that's an argument that I can't. When people say, well, fuck it, how come we haven't found a body? Or how come we haven't found better video? You know, like you say, why is every video so shitty and blurry? I don't have an answer to that. But if you believe in Bigfoot and you believe that they're prevalent in the Pacific Northwest, you would think eventually we might find a skull or something.
I think we have found... I'm trying to find proof of finding bear bones here. So,
mm-hmm. Okay.
Here's one answer that says this is just some biology stack exchange thing. Large predators can break up the bones to get at the marrow. This disperses the skeletons, but for the most part, bones are a good source of calcium and are eaten by rodents. You can see evidence of this when you come across the gnaw marks that rodents make on the plastic boards. Maybe, okay. As for the reason that human skeletons are particularly resistant to this destruction, I have only one guess. Perhaps the first stage of destruction, the dispersal by large predators, is less common because these predators have been trained to avoid humans. I would also guess that many murder victims are concealed by the murderer. So, large animals that die in nature are consumed.
Okay.
So, maybe that's why.
Mm-hmm.
It still just comes down... Like, honestly, the idea that Bigfoot is like a time traveler or goes to space makes more sense than that it's just a big monkey that nobody's ever found.
Why does that make more sense?
Because then it's like, yeah, he drops by, waves at some people, and then disappears into a spaceship, explains the lack of proof more than just like, oh, he's pretty sneaky. But, and then I take, because I remember when we were hiking, and it's like, you see how vast the dense the Pacific Northwest can be.
Yeah.
That it does, like, if you wanted to not be found, it's pretty easy up there.
Yeah. That's why I've always believed that it's so possible that they like could
only
be hiding.
If there's only, like, 40 of them out there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the other thing. It's not like they're as common as coyotes. I've read statistics. One guy said he thinks that there's 3,500 of them. That seems like a lot.
How the fuck do you come up with that number?
I don't know how he came up with that number.
With no proof of it even existing anywhere, this guy's throwing out 3,500?
Uh-huh.
Get the fuck out of here.
I mean, that does, on the surface, that does sound like a large number. But think if there were 3,500 humans on this giant planet, how hard it would be to find one of them. You know, spread out through the whole globe, 3,500 is not that big of a number. But it does sound like a big number for something
for something that nobody's ever seen, ever.
Yeah.
You know, there's only 20 ghosts in the whole world. But since they're ghosts, they could just travel real easily.
Oh, man. What if this is... I hope they test it. What if it is real? That would be so rad.
I mean, I'm going to... Yeah, I'm going to have to err on a side. Again, the fact that this guy was like, the skull is in a safe place. The government's probably going to take these photos down. When I first saw that, I was like, absolutely. I'm like, nope. Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. You know what? I just found proof of a mythical being. What I'm going to do is put it on Instagram. Get the fuck out of here. Your name's Coyote Peterson?
I was waiting on that.
You sound like a white blues guitarist that plays Thursday nights at a Chili's.
Opening for Blues Hammer.
Yeah, yeah. Coyote Peterson doing a bunch of George Thorogood covers. Out at the TGI Fridays.
Oh, man.
It's Build Your Own Burger Night. Coyote Peterson's playing. Come on down to the car show in the Target parking lot this weekend.
Yeah, why is it always going to be some Yahoo? You're right. Why can't
I wonder why, Dave.
But that's why when there are several eyewitness accounts of just regular people with no incentive or no motivation to bullshit, those are the people I'm like, okay. I mean, I used to have a joke about it years ago, but like you see some goat farmer in Tibet and he says that he saw a Yeti. That guy probably doesn't have an Instagram. That guy's probably not trying to bullshit anybody. He's just like, hey, what? This is what I saw. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he didn't email Newsweek. It just told somebody else. Yeah, I saw something crazy out there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. What's going on with you personally? Anything fun happened while I was gone? Getting anything?
No, man, I just rode some bikes.
Yeah, getting rad. You know,
yeah, got rad adjacent. Mm-hmm. I'm getting back there, trying to get back in shape. Been out of the gym. Been getting at it a little bit much. But then I got nothing, man. You were the part of the Boogie Monster that was out living that life this week. I just stayed back stateside, watched it all go to shit for a while. So, don't worry about me. Nothing going on.
I can't recommend it enough. I know that not everybody has the opportunity to get to Hawaii, but if you do, oh boy, what a good time.
Did people do anything for 4th of July? I can see them not being incredibly patriotic about the colonizers.
Exactly. Yeah, I saw almost no celebration. No. Didn't even see anybody, you know, waving the flag. There was no, you know, street lined with American flags.
No, they're not happy about it. Yeah. It's not like it did them a bunch of favors.
Exactly. They're like, well, we were doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Peaceful natives.
Yeah. I had a couple cider drinks and rode my bike to the top of the parking garage here and watched. Summer didn't start here until like 3 weeks ago. Now it's 100 degrees, but it was pretty much raining almost all up until 3 weeks ago. I finally was like, oh, it's sunny and it's warm out. So there wasn't like this forest fire risk with the fireworks. And you can buy them. They're legal here. So it is kind of fun to ride around the neighborhood and see people just sitting out in the street with whatever they spent their money on. Mm-hmm. Blowing it up. So I just rode around, checked that out, and then I went to this parking garage. And it's funny, there's a security guard. He's just up. He's got to work 4th of July, so he's just watching people setting them off in the parking lot. He didn't give a shit.
You ever been a fireworks guy? You ever purchase fireworks?
I feel like I never buy. Like I've had them, enjoyed them. I never went and bought any. Mm-hmm. But then somebody will give you some Roman candle. You're like, this is awesome.
Yeah. Did you do stuff like that when you were a kid? Did you have like a tradition every year, like a neighborhood thing?
There was the big community fireworks down the street from our house that everybody would kind of park by our house and walk to. Mm-hmm. I remember being a little kid and having them in the driveway. And my dad had, they were like tanks, so you'd light them and they just kind of putts real slow, shooting sparks out their ass, but then they would blow up, you know? Mm-hmm. And my dad had like a old, like a Volkswagen Beetle, like 70s Volkswagen Beetle. So the thing's just a gas tank on wheels, you know. Mm-hmm. And the tank just scoots, and he's not paying attention. All of a sudden, just scoots underneath the Volkswagen. He's like, "Everybody inside!" Like, we'll let this thing burn itself out, and hopefully, it doesn't destroy the family vehicles.
Oh man!
But I remember that. I remember my buddy Bob. Like, he had downstate cousins that would just come up with a bunch of illegal shit, and that was, he had a retention pond behind his house, and we just went buck wild, lighting stuff off.
Nice.
Yeah, they're fun. You know, you can get into the qualms and the dangers of them, and I agree with all that too, but it's just unadulterated joy. I love that super white trash patriots that are rah-rah America use Mexican and Chinese technology to celebrate the independence of America. No irony lost there. But yeah, I dig them, man. I'm into them.
Yeah. Good time. When I was a kid, we lived at the top of a cul-de-sac, and it was a bigger than normal cul-de-sac for some reason. Like, it was just a big circumference.
Fat sack.
Fat sack.
Dave lives down in Fat Sack.
The bulbous sack. And yeah, the whole, like, all the dads in the cul-de-sac would, like, get together and put on a little show in the middle of the cul-de-sac, and it was awesome. And I also remember, like, it was one of the only times of the year I was allowed to run around outside after dark. That maybe Halloween. I just remember being, and we'd catch lightning bugs, get a little mason jar, go around try to catch lightning bugs. But I just remember it's like one of the few times I was out playing after dark and just how exciting that was. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that. I remember, I just remember one epic game of Ghosts in the Graveyard. It was like, I don't know if it was a 4th of July or like some summertime holiday. And you know, you remember things different, but I like, I'm like, there must've been 50 kids just running rampant through the whole neighborhood, just hiding in anybody's yard, climbing trees, getting on roofs just to play Ghosts. And it was like, oh yeah, that was like, I just remember that memory. Just being like, oh, this is one of the best times I've ever had.
Yeah.
And then I think somebody around that same time, little kid, where like somebody taught me about Bloody Mary or told me a story that scared the living shit out of me.
Really?
Like just the idea that you as a child could summon a demon.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you say this thing three times, a ghost will appear. Like, I can do that. I can just make a ghost show up. I didn't need to know that. I already have burgeoning OCD at this age, and you're going to tell me if I say something three times, a ghost will show up? Well, it's got to be all odd numbers for me here on out.
Mm-hmm. All right, today's episode of The Boogie Monster brought to you by Simply Safe Home Security. Here at The Boogie Monster, we believe home should be the safest place on earth for every family. That's why I use and recommend Simply Safe, have been using it for years. Simply Safe is advanced whole home security that puts you, your home, and your family's safety absolutely first. Here's why I love it. Well, it's pretty simple. It's affordable, it was easy to set up, and there's 24/7 monitoring. What more do you want? Simply Safe offers comprehensive protection not only against intruders and burglary, but against expensive home hazards from flooding to fires. With 24/7 professional monitoring, Simply Safe's agents take action the moment a threat is detected, dispatching police or first responders in an emergency, even if you're not home. Simply Safe uses proprietary video verification technology so that monitoring agents can visually confirm the threat in order to get higher priority 911 dispatch. Monitoring plans are affordable, priced at just $1 a day with no long-term contract or hidden fees, because feeling safe at home shouldn't break the bank. You can customize the perfect system for your home and family in just a few minutes at simplysafe.com/boogie. Go today and claim a free indoor security camera plus 20% off with interactive monitoring. Go to simplysafe.com/boogie. All right, there's a certain confidence that comes with being properly groomed. Dakari Dave knows that. There's an aura. There's a vibe. You can simply tell by the way a person carries himself. We call this BGE, Big Groomed Energy. Get it? All right. There's only one way to get that BGE, and that's with Manscaped. We'd like to introduce you to their best and biggest ultimate hygiene bundle yet, the Platinum Package 4.0. Manscaped is the leader in below-the-waist grooming. Now trust them with the rest. Join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code BOOGIE. Manscaped's brand new Platinum Package 4.0 is the biggest bundle they've ever offered, giving you a bulk discount on Manscaped's top products. The Manscaped Platinum Package 4.0 is the one-stop shop for the man who deserves it all. They designed this package to allow you to fully align your entire hygiene routine with elite products. Inside the Platinum Package, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0, the Weed Whacker Ear and Nose Hair Trimmer, Ultra Premium Body Wash, Ultra Premium 2-in-1 Shampoo and Conditioner, Ultra Premium Deodorant, Crop Preserver, Anti-Chafing Ball Deodorant, Crop Reviver Ball Spray Toner, Anti-Chafing Boxers, and the Shed Travel Bag to hold all your goods while you're traveling. The Lawnmower 4.0 Body Trimmer and Weed Whacker Nose and Hair Trimmer feature proprietary advanced skin-safe technology to protect your delicate parts and holes. Both are waterproof, so you can shave with less mess. Not your parts and your... Well, those are waterproof, too. In addition to shaving, you can now completely upgrade your shower routine with the Ultra Premium Body Wash and Ultra Premium 2-in-1 Shampoo Plus Conditioner. You'll have your skin and hair feeling hydrated and smelling fresh. Don't forget to apply their aluminum-free Ultra Premium deodorant for that cologne-quality scent on the go. But it's not just your pits that stank. Your balls can stink, too. The more you know. Thankfully, their Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner can solve this problem for you. Once they touch your sack, you'll never go back. Good Lord. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code BOOGIE at Manscaped. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use that code BOOGIE. Unlock your big groomed energy with Manscaped. And remember, you trim the hedges, the trees stand taller. Right on. Show off that junk. Going back to the fireworks real quick, you may not know this story. There was a player in the NFL. I don't know if he's retired yet, but he played just a few years ago, and he was really good. It's a guy named Jason Pierre-Paul. But back in 2015, on 4th of July, he was hanging out at a cookout and messing around with fireworks, and he blew, like, two of his fingers off.
Yep.
And then continued to play in the NFL.
So much for that. Oh, that's baseball. Yeah, well, what position was he playing?
He's like a defensive end. Yeah, he didn't need his hands. He wasn't catching the ball, but
yeah,
still
stubs.
Yeah, but you still need those fingers to grab onto people and tackle them. Blew a couple fingers clean off.
That was a tweet that I did see from somebody. Like, it was July 3rd, and like, this is the last day somebody's going to have all 10 of their fingers. I was like, oh yeah, I didn't think about that.
I obviously was away this year, but there's been years past, especially here in Los Angeles, where, you know, like July 1st, just pew, boom, boom, boom. Like, dude, you can't wait until the 4th. You just always tell the idiots with no self-control, shoot them off July 2nd.
You're in West Hollywood now, but if you live anywhere near East LA, that's just...
Oh. I used to live in East Hollywood.
Whenever. Yeah, that's just fireworks. You just have fireworks.
Yeah. You're like, 4th of July? What are you talking about? It's October. Got fireworks. I mean, this is probably a hack premise, especially in the South, but like, there was always these big fireworks places. Like in Georgia, they were illegal. So right on the Alabama line or right on the Tennessee line, these big fireworks warehouses. What are they doing the rest of the year? I mean, seriously, how do they... pay the rent the rest of the year? Who's buying fireworks, you know, in December? Well, you know, New Year's maybe, but
well, no, they're always closed. But I like, what do they just, how do they keep them safe? You know, you think about a dry, think about a hot weather, and just, oh, that's a building full of that's an armory across from a Cracker Barrel.
Oh, dude. What? Dude.
What?
You got to move back to California.
Do I?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
I know the economy's crumbling and crime is through the roof, but we got Duke's mayonnaise now.
I saw that.
Duke's in Los Angeles.
I got Duke's here too, man.
For a decade, I've been yearning for my Duke's. I got to get it mail ordered. I buy my shit online.
He's juking for Dukes. Why didn't you just order Dukes?
I mean, I do order Dukes. I buy it through Amazon, but now I can buy it in person. That's just very exciting to me.
I did see that. I'm happy for you.
Very exciting.
I have some Dukes here. I do notice the difference in the Dukes. I enjoy Dukes. I mean, I know what you're talking about. Listen, I'm going to know different mayonnaises. I got you. I'm a Miracle Whip man myself, but if you got to get me a good regular mayonnaise, Dukes. Sure.
Mayonnaise don't go bad.
Nope, sure doesn't.
We've heard
my spiel.
Made some red beans and rice last night.
I saw all those pictures. Son, saw that steak you were making.
Son. That steak was from a few days ago when I posted it. Okay. I'm sure people were like, boys, ate a steak and some red beans and rice in the same night. Although that steak was beautiful. I bought it from a... Did you ever hit McCall's there in Los Feliz when you lived around there?
I did. I know what you're talking about. The butcher shop, dude, yeah.
Yeah, real nice stuff. Real nice stuff. But, yeah, dude, red beans and rice, one of my favorites. I'm not going to live long enough to do everything I want to do, but I really do hope I can find the time and the energy one day to open a food truck. Mm-hmm. And one cuisine that is terribly underserved in Los Angeles, obviously Southern food in general, but Cajun food. I'd love to open a Cajun food truck. Just small menu, just red beans and rice, gumbo, maybe shrimp and grits, maybe a po' boy, and just turn that shit out, man.
Somebody made mention, because you were talking about that before, about where to get food. Somebody said the Little Jewel.
I've been there. Little Jewel, New Orleans. In Chinatown. Yeah, solid, real solid. But that's the only place I'm even aware of in Los Angeles. And it's good, but it's not, I mean, I don't want to shit on it. It's really, really good. It's solid. Yeah. But it's not like, you know, my beloved Baloo's and Baton Rouge or anything like that. Yeah.
We got a little food truck thing out here in Beaverton mm-hmm. that I rode to the other day. And got me, like, I'm sure that the words will make you cringe, but I got some vegan gumbo.
Hmm.
And I almost asked, I'm like, this ain't vegan, right? Like, you just put tofu instead of sausage in this thing, right? It was good. It was like, by that, I mean, like, oh, shit. I don't have the discerning palate for that cuisine like you do,
mm-hmm.
but it was exactly what I wanted.
Good for you, buddy. I'm glad you got to experience that.
Yeah, I've seen a few places that do Cajun food, and they always, I mean, it's Portland, so of course they cater to the hippies, which I like.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some vegan places that will make you feel worse than if you just ate the actual fast food version of the stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But this was good, and they have, like, there's always, like, vegan gumbo, and I don't know if it's just easy to make vegan and just tofu or fake sausage instead of the real mm-hmm. thing that's in there. But, man, it's scratched an itch for me, I'll tell you that. That day, I think I was a little hungover. I made myself ride my bike down there. I was like, ooh, this is hugging me from the inside right now.
Yeah, I could see that being an acceptable alternative. I mean, I like to make my roux with butter. So you got to have the roux. That's the base. Equal parts flour and fat.
That would already not be vegan if they make it with butter. That's what I'm yeah, like, but, I think you did all this other stuff.
But a lot of people make it with oil. So oil's vegan, right? Duh, right?
Yeah, I get it. Yeah,
vegetable
yeah.
oil.
Okay. All right, okay, sure.
So yeah, a lot of people make it with oil. I prefer butter, even though it is trickier because you got to make sure it doesn't burn. It burns easier than oil. But yeah, you can make your roux with flour and oil. The only other thing is, like, part of the oomph of gumbo is the stock, you know?
Yeah.
Usually you use a good chicken stock or something like that. I mean, yeah, you could use veggie stock. You're not going to have the deep, deep flavors that I'm always on the search for, but I can see.
Them deep, deep flavors.
But, you know, the rest of it is, you know, just the veggies, the trinity with the bell pepper and the onion and the celery and the spices. So, yeah, I could see gumbo being something
you could
make vegan pretty easily.
Yeah, I don't have a catalog to go back to. Like, well, it doesn't taste like this place makes. I don't have that, so this just tastes like, you know, some sort of chili adjacent stew thing with a bunch of stuff that I needed after going out the night before, and it was It was like, I think it was like a kind of a little bit of a little drizzly day out here. So it was even perfect for that. Mm. It was good stuff, man. Well, let's, you want, speaking of that, I got to go. We got to grill some shrimp over here.
Oh, there you
go. Still eating them shrimp. I might not be long for fish anymore.
What do you mean?
Like it might be off the menu for me.
Why?
I don't know. I think I'm just moving that way, slowly.
Getting away from fish, huh?
Maybe. I mean, we have shrimp right now. I'll tell you that.
Well,
but we'll see. I'm not going to make any bold statements, but I might
at least you
be
won't have to put up with any mahi mahi.
I think I've had mahi mahi and I've enjoyed it just fine. So I don't know what was it dry? Too dry?
Yeah, too dry. So in fish, yeah, poorly. It's just overcooked, dry, too lean. Just no flavor, no fat.
You've been to old Connie and Ted since you've been in West Hollywood?
I sure have, buddy.
They got the hot fish sandwich.
Hot fish sandwich, buddy.
I wonder if that's back on the menu. I'll be down there soon enough. We got the sublet coming up, so we'll be back down there live and in person.
Strap in, buddy.
Daiquiri Dave and Uncle Barbecue. Really flipping nicknames on that one, by the way.
There you go.
Well, let's listen. I'm going to wrap it up on just a good thing as I look on the internet right here. First images from the old James Webb Space Telescope came in. And, I mean, it looks like some sort of Star Wars wallpaper you'd put on your computer screen.
Okay.
But since we know that that's not what it is and that these are all different universes, it is an incredible photograph.
And, nice. I haven't seen it yet. I saw the headline, but I didn't click on it yet.
Yeah, and so it's the is according to ABC News, it's the highest resolution image of the universe ever captured. And NASA Administrator Bill Nelson said that the light seen on the image has been traveling for over 13 billion years. So the light that's how far away. That the light that we're seeing in this photo is from 13 billion years ago. Now, if you want to feel even smaller just being in the ocean, chew on that one, buddy.
Jeez. Yeah, I can't even wrap my mind around it. It's insane.
Wow. And this is just, this is just like a test image. This is just the beginning. So let's try and look at the good news. That we're going to find something wild out there.
I hope so. I just hope it's not a fake gorilla skull.
Yeah. I mean,
where are you going to be
I think it was. I'm sorry to break your heart.
Where are you going to be this weekend? You going back out?
Philadelphia this weekend. We're back on the road, hitting it hard now. Yeah, Philadelphia this weekend. Louisville next weekend after that. Bloomington, Indiana the weekend after that. And then Pickathon here up in Oregon after that.
Nice. You're going to do some little acoustic, little banjo. What are you going to do?
Yeah, strumming and a picking.
A little mandolin.
I'm just going to provide enough jokes to make your strings tingle, buddy.
There you go, buddy.
But yeah, it's like a little music festival out here that I'm doing. So, but Philly Helium, I've always had fun there, so I'll be back there in a couple days. Tickets are going, so
nice.
get some now. Yeah,
I'll be there August 23rd.
Okay, the Helium.
Yeah, Helium in Philly, August 24th. I'll be at Helium in Buffalo. More recently, this weekend, Saturday the 16th, you could see me in Bakersfield.
Mm-hmm.
And on the 18th, Monday, next Monday, I'll be in Apple Valley, California. So play all the big markets.
Buddy, it's not about the big markets anymore. It's about going to where people want to see you.
That's true. That's true.
You're a man of the people, Dave. And the people live everywhere.
That's true. People do live everywhere.
Hell yeah. All right.
Patreon.com/boogiemonster, $4 a month. 2 bonus episodes every month. Get on that shit. Get on that
doggy.
Shit, dog. Get on that shit. Yeah, doggy. All right, buddy. Will you hold it down?
Glad you had a good vacation.
Yeah,
vacation. Glad you got a real break from the grind.
Yeah, I needed a break, man. My life is pretty stressful, so got to break it up. I'm going to go, Dave, go watch the Braves need some mayonnaise.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, all right, buddy. You know what I mean? Good talking to you, man. We'll holler at you next week.
Likewise. You be good.
The Boogie Monster.
Network.